This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, my goodness, there were so many opportunities yesterday where I wanted to jump in on the conversation, but I'll tell you what, John Jackson was doing such a great job. It's like, no, I can just kick back, sit back, and enjoy with my cup of coffee. Of course, I was still able to jump in on the conversation a time or two as well, but yeah, if you were listening to the show yesterday morning, my nose, after getting that nose surgery last week, I still had all the splints in, I still had all the packing in following the surgery, and so until I got that stuff out, it was like, but man, it was kind of funny. Again, big thanks to John for covering down once again. He covered the show all week last week, which is, it's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of fun too, but it's a lot of work getting up at O'Dark 30, 4 hour radio show every single day. And some people think, oh, it's a 4 hour radio show, so you just go in at, 6 o'clock in the morning and then you leave at 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, try it. Try that. Man, I tell you what, especially to keep up with all you guys and all the great insight and questions and commentary that you guys bring to the table, you got to be ready for, or try to be. You're never going to be ready for everything, but you got to try to be ready for almost anything on a show like this. That's part of what makes it so much fun. But yeah, there were so many things that John was talking about that I was like, ooh, I wanted to weigh in, but I'm like, oh man, I should not be talking on the radio right now. But it was fun listening in. And the biggest thing I wanted to do on Monday was make it so that you guys could be heard, so that you could jump in on the conversation with John and be heard across Montana as well. So that was fun, being able to make that happen. I really enjoyed Niz Nelly, who has got just great insight as always. Sounds like she's got a very interesting background, based off of, some of the info she has shared and things she's talked about on X. And I think she actually co-hosts, whenever John talks about doing spaces, you guys might be wondering, what's he talking about? Spaces, what is spaces? So on, like how on Facebook you can do Facebook Live, and you can basically do your own broadcast. Well, Spaces is basically that for X. But it's even cooler because you can basically launch your own talk show, and anybody on X and your friends and others can jump in on the conversation too. And you can even kind of go to them like they're a caller onto a radio show. And so John and Niz, they do a Spaces live chat. And so if you follow him on X at PBT Joker US, oftentimes he will tell you when that's coming up, et cetera, things like that. So I wish I had more time to listen to so many other programs and things just like that. But luckily we get a chance to catch up with John every Tuesday here on the show. So he'll be back with us, I think, later this morning in the 8 o'clock hour of the show as well. One of the biggest things I wanted to mention, he was talking obviously about the, just the horrific attacks that we saw there, radical Islamic attacks over the weekend, in America, in Australia, in, frankly, Syria, all over the world. But there was something that Elon Musk shared on X, and I need to scroll down into my feed because I thought it just captured perfectly what the story is here. Rothmus shared this photo, and it was of Irina Zarutska on X, on that subway train, who was brutally murdered. And the meme says this: mercy to the wolf is cruelty to the sheep.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some clouds around the area today, an isolated shower is possible, mainly towards Bozeman. High temperatures stay in the upper 40s to the lower 50s. For tonight, with variably cloudy skies, isolated showers possible, mainly towards the Bozeman vicinity. Overnight lows in the mid and upper 30s. With some scattered rain showers Wednesday, highs range in the mid 40s to around 50. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Are you
the past year with Montana Talks? We've taken you to Capitol Hill. We've taken you to the SHOT Show. We've taken you to the Farm Bureau Convention. We've done shows all across Montana. But you know what the best part of Montana Talks is? When you call into the show, when we take your phone calls from all across Montana, and then you get a chance to be heard all across Montana. Hey, that's what we do every day here with Montana Talks, taking you statewide, 9 to 10 a.m., the show where you get to talk.
It's the
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I don't know why the guy's name is escaping me. Oh, there it is. Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott. Man, the guy's just got such a classic Western look, doesn't he? In voice and everything. This was something else that I was going to bring up yesterday on the show. I had ready to roll for you. How many of you have been watching the show? This was another moment where I really wanted to jump in on a conversation with John yesterday, but I was like, man, my voice is a train wreck. By the way, I don't know if you can tell the difference from yesterday to today. Literally, just like so many of my friends were telling me, I went in at like 11:30 yesterday and to do the post-op with the doctor who did the surgery. And snip, snip, pulls the little splints out of my nose, pulls the packing out of my nose. And then he's like, all right, here you go, blow your nose. Now take a deep breath. And I'm like, holy cow. Literally like a complete like world of difference, a night and day difference. I was like, this is remarkable. And, you know, boom, boom. And then I hop in the pickup and I head down to the Red Line in Kalispell. And I get a chance to speak to the Flathead County Republican women. and all that nasally wah, wah, wah was all gone. It was like, holy cow, this is crazy. So anyway, big thanks to the doctor and the crew there. By the way, yeah, it was the Glacier ENT, Glacier Ear, Nose, and Throat, Dr. Healy there. Hadn't met him before this whole process, but he's a Marine Corps veteran. Then he served a career in the Navy as a doctor, Stanford-educated guy. So anyway, what a great doc, what a great team. So very thankful for that opportunity. And by the way, it also makes you, man, I tell you what, it makes you think and feel so much more for people that are undergoing some serious medical stuff right now. So I know that there's somebody out there listening right now, either you or your friends or your family are going through some really rough medical situations right now. And, you know, as I was sitting there and, you know, kind of feeling, you know, a little, you know, when I had all that stuff jammed up my nose and you can't breathe through your nose and, ah, man. And I just thought, my goodness, there are some people who have really got it rough, you know, and have to deal with far more than what I had to deal with last week. And so just thinking of all of those of you out there, those, you know, you're fighting cancer, you're whatever it might be. So anyway, we're thinking of all you guys, and I've got a couple people I'm thinking of in particular right now. I won't mention their names on the radio, but without their permission. But anyway, you know who you are. You know, I did a post for our Montana Talks website where I talked about the NFR, the National Finals Rodeo. I don't know if any of you guys read that, saw that on the website or on the app over the weekend. But, man, I was so lucky last week, you know, to be laid up and not really able to do anything while you're on, the meds and everything and can't really do anything anyways as you heal from the surgery. So, but what timing. I mean, I got to sit there and watch the NFR, and then I got to watch Landman. Hey, anybody watch Landman? This was the clip that I wanted to share with John yesterday. Maybe I'll re-rack it for him and for our statewide audience later in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well, because it'll tie in with a great guest that we've got coming in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But how many of you watch Landman? Landman is, it's another Taylor Sheridan series, and the guy is just a freaking film genius. My goodness. If you ever watched the show Yellowstone, the TV show Yellowstone. I know some of you are cussing. Ah, that's the reason Montana got invaded. I was one of those people, like, when Yellowstone first came out, I'm like, nope, not watching it. Come on, this is garbage. Ah, I'm not watching this. And then I watched it, and I was hooked. I was like, holy cow, this is a really good show. This is a really good, may not be entirely realistic, but what movie or TV show is? They always, you know, have to make it more theatrical. It's what films and movies and TV shows are all about. Then I got hooked on the show Yellowstone, and just the cinematography and the music, and, you know, you had actors in there, real deal cowboys like Forey J. Smith, who Jessica and I got to meet down at the World of Rodeo reunion down in during the NFR a few years ago, and man. But then you watch any other Taylor Sheridan series lately, and you're like, holy cow, this is incredible. So Landman is basically, if Landman is to Texas oil country what Yellowstone was to Montana ranch country, right? So So think of what the TV show Yellowstone was when it comes to ranchers in Montana, and, you know, kind of some over-the-top crazy storylines. Landman is the same thing, but there's a lot of realism that's injected into it as well. And even the people that are in the Texas oil business are saying, man, there's some stuff in this thing that's pretty on point here. But there's some great one-liners as well. Billy Bob Thornton plays Tommy, the main character, and he's an incredible character in this. Well, anyway, his dad is now, well, I shouldn't give away too much of this show, but in the latest episode, his dad is injected into the program. And his dad in the series is the legendary Sam Elliott. And anyway, so Sam Elliott, you know, the dad now is now living, grandpa's now living at the house with Tommy and the rest of the family. And you know, Sam Elliott, the dad in this storyline, is a grumpy old guy or whatever. And he's just sitting around the house all day, right? You know, he was in a nursing home. They pull him out of the nursing home. Now he's living with Tommy and the rest of the crew. And there's this phone call where, and actually, Caden, if you can, don't play the bumper music. Mute the bumper music. But here's the phone call where Sam Elliott asks him a question.
What do you need? I don't know what to do.
Well, you do whatever you want to. Read a book, watch TV, daytime talk shows.
You know, like The View or something. What's The View?
Bunch of pissed off millionaires bitching about how much they hate millionaires and Trump and men and you and me and
everybody else they got to be up their ass about. It's pretty funny. Don't sound funny.
Well, it ain't joke funny. It's like farting church funny, you know what I mean?
That don't sound funny either. Well, it depends on your proximity to the fart.
Oh, man, I had to record that right off the TV the other night. I got a kick out of it.
There was a summer camp for critical thinking. We'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Lane Nordlund. As birds begin their migration south, USDA has confirmed Wisconsin's first known case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in dairy cattle so far this year. That was detected last week through routine national milk testing. The affected farm has been quarantined with sick animals isolated, and additional testing and investigations are underway with Wisconsin officials. Highly pathogenic avian influenza primarily impacts late lactation dairy cows, causing reduced feed intake and milk production, lethargy, fever, and other symptoms. While cattle cases have occurred in 18 states since 2024, only a few have been reported this year. USDA says the detection does not change its eradication strategy and emphasizes strict biosecurity. And the agency stressed there is no risk to consumers as pasteurized milk remains safe and milk from affected animals is diverted or destroyed. Now, this case in Wisconsin is a bit east of Western Ag Network country, but dairy producers are encouraged to stay vigilant. And if your dairy cattle are showing signs of highly pathogenic avian influenza, contact animal health officials immediately. This is the Western Ag Network.
Hello, everybody. This is Tyke Thompson, the public auctioneer here in Billings. Our annual Northland stock cow and bred heifer sale coming up here this Friday on the 19th. We've expanded it to 2 days. There will be over 5,600 head of bred females. Go to publicauctioneers.com, see all the detailed consignments. You can view, bid, and buy at cattleusa.com. But that's the annual Northland stock cow and bred heifer sale. Over 5,600 bred females, December 19th and 20th at Pays in Billings, Montana.
Farmers and ranchers, let Tillman Equipment help you invest in your ag operation and give less to the IRS with a new tractor, combine, or sprayer from AgCo, Massey Ferguson, Heston, and now the legendary Finn. Trusted brands by a family-owned dealership. Let the Tillman Equipment team help you with your production and efficiency. After all, time is money, your money, not the government's. Tillman Equipment in Haver, Fort Benton, with Triangle Ag, and now in Great Falls. For more information, visit TillmanEquipment.com.
Last week, a new pilot program was announced on regenerative agricultural practices and, in turn, growing more nutritious food. That announcement was made by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy and Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
The pilot brings USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, back to its core mission, helping people help the land through whole farm, outcome-based voluntary conservation that our producers trust. Whole farm planning is the centerpiece, ensuring that all resource concerns such as soil, water, and natural vitality are addressed together, not one piece at a time.
In fiscal year 26, the regenerative pilot program will focus on whole farm planning that addresses every major resource concern, soil, water, and natural vitality under a single conservation framework.
Producers will benefit from a single application, reducing red tape and making conservation easier to access and our programs more impactful. Each producer's results will be measured and credited back to the farmer through an outcomes report, recognizing and rewarding improvements they achieve on their own land.
USDA is dedicating $400 million through the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or EQIP, and $300 million through the Conservation Stewardship Program to fund the first year of regenerative agriculture projects. More details can be found by contacting your local NRCS office. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, hey, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation, of course, you can always message us on the Montana Talks app as well. I did get a message from Tim and Savage about the Landman clip that I just shared with you, and I was like, hey, maybe that's a line you can use in one of your upcoming sermons at church. Yeah, why not, right? Although it might inspire some of the youngsters to pull some shenanigans in the back pews, though. So, yeah, maybe you just want to hold off on mentioning that one at all there. Yes, so many things I wanted to mention while I was kicking back and enjoying the conversation that John Jackson was heading up yesterday. I really wanted to play this clip from Stephen Miller, of course, Deputy White House Chief of Staff. In fact, we caught up with his wife, Katie Miller, who's got her new podcast out now. She joined us on Capitol Hill when we were doing our show live from Washington, D.C., just, what, last month or so? But Stephen Miller, apparently CNN is refusing to have Stephen Miller on their channel. They won't even have him as a guest on any of their programs. Because, of course, he would school any one of their liberal anchors that tried to take a run at him. But here he was. I believe he was on Fox News. This comes from Rapid Response 47. This was a soundbite that I had ready to roll for you. He was talking about the Somali welfare fraud scandal in Minnesota. And we've got some updates on that front as well.
He's right about one thing. It's not brand new. The Somali community has been engaged in massive, endemic, systematic fraud against the American taxpayer for years. We're going to discover ultimately, and we are in the throes right now of a full-throated, all-hands-on-deck federal investigation, is that the scope, scale, size, and sheer magnitude of the fraud eclipses anybody's worst nightmare. According to official government records, 90% of Somali households with children are on federal welfare. The real number is probably 100% because federal records always undercount. So you're talking about a population that has been imported into Minnesota in which virtually every single member of that population is receiving welfare from the federal government. This could very well end up, Laura, being the greatest financial fraud scandal in American history.
Yeah, what he was referring to was Minnesota Governor Tim Walz was like, oh, this thing isn't new. This isn't new. Because Tim Walz, of course, has been downplaying this massive, you know, near $2 billion fraud scandal in his state of Minnesota. He's been downplaying it. He's been providing cover for the fraudsters. And then he tries to take credit for the people that are now actually being prosecuted by the federal government, by the way, not by state government. And whistleblowers basically straight up said that it was Tim Walz who knew about this, that he was aware of it was going on and then did nothing about it. Now he's trying to say, oh, well, this is old news. Come on, this is old news. And so a great point there by Stephen Miller saying, yeah, this has been happening for a very long time. We've got audio from Walz and Trump on this very story, too. Stan, good here. Yeah, so speaking of the Somali fraud scandal, I've got another soundbite here from Stephen Miller, but let me go first here to a segment. This was from yesterday's special report with Brett Baer. I think he had Guy Benson. You'll hear Guy Benson's voice as well. But first, here you're going to hear both President Trump calling out Tim Walz, the former vice presidential candidate for the Democrat Party, and still the governor of Minnesota. Unbelievable. That state is just such a mess now after what the Democrats have done to it. But first President Trump, then Governor Walz, and then reaction from special report.
Walz is a grossly incompetent man. There's something wrong with him. Okay. Somalians ripped off that state for billions of dollars. They contributed nothing. I don't want him in our country, I'll be honest with you. Okay. We're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country.
Donald Trump brought this to the attention like this is something brand new. This is not brand new, and it's been being worked on. But he made it white hot and very dangerous.
Oh, no, it's not brand new. It's being worked on. It didn't seem like it was being worked on, Guy.
No, it happened to the tune of $1 billion or more, presided over and enabled, I would argue, by the governor and his political party. And he's trying to deflect to identity politics and to President Trump to hide from the glaring, enormous failure with his own taxpayers fleeced, robbed to a staggering degree. And I think maybe trying to change the tone and seem disappointed or upset about this would be better than the indignant thing that he tried. But he truly does have a mess on his hands, and he deserves it.
Having talked to a lot of officials, this could be the tip of the iceberg, not just in Minnesota, but for other states. That's one of the issues as we get ready for this health care renewal or whatever.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, of course it's just the tip of the freaking iceberg, because Americans are getting ripped off all across this country. We're paying for all of these other people to come here and rip us off time and time again. Here's Stephen Miller with another point on the same topic. I believe this is a different soundbite here.
President Trump has blown the lid off of the refugee industrial complex. And the way this works is exactly the way that you said. The U.S. government historically, and this, of course, got taken to the highest degree ever under Biden, hands out billions, with a B, billions of dollars in grants to these third-party groups, non-governmental organizations, to work with the Department of State to find the poorest populations from the most dysfunctional places in the world and then bring them into small-town America. They typically look for areas in rural communities, rural places, or more traditional Midwestern towns that they can completely transform. So they send them to small towns in Ohio, to small towns in Maine, and of course we've seen their central project has been in Minneapolis and St. Paul in the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
All right, so yeah, Stephen Miller basically pointing out how President Trump is exposing the refugee industrial complex. Back after this.
Shit makes a difference. R&R.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This was another topic that John Jackson hit on Monday yesterday as well. So he was obviously talking about the terrorist attack, the radical Islamist terror attack in Australia. And by the way, I really appreciated his conversation with our good friend, Rabbi Chaim Bruck, with the Jewish synagogue in Bozeman. That took place in the 8 o'clock hour of the show Monday. If you missed it, definitely go back and listen to that. I love just the passion in the rabbi's voice as he talked not only about Hanukkah, that is now underway. And happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends out there, by the way. But he also just went off on the anti-Semitism that has been seemingly tolerated in America and worldwide, and the anti-Semitism that was tolerated in Australia leading up to that terrorist attack. And of course, and John made this point too, to a certain extent. But there was a great post on X here by Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla has shared this, but it actually came from the name of this account. I'm not joking. The name of this account on X, they use the name Cat Turd. That is their name on X. Very popular account on X, sharing just some of the crazy liberal news stories and things like that. But a great side-by-side photographic meme that was shared here. One of these men was banned from Australia. One of these men was banned from Australia. And in the left photo is the radical Islamic terrorist, Australian import, with the rifle that he used to gun down innocent Jewish people or people just simply there to celebrate Hanukkah with their Jewish friends. That's one photo on the left. The other photo on the right is very popular tennis star. In fact, I think, Caden, wasn't he like the number one in the world at the time? Remember when all the COVID craziness was going on and he refused to get the jab that might harm his heart? And as a result of that, Australia banned this popular tennis player from playing tennis in Australia. They banned him from Australia. They didn't ban these radical Islamic terrorists from Australia, did they? Sean Hannity, by the way, had a great segment last night where he was talking about how the world, so many in the United States, have gone into a pre-9/11 mindset when it comes to terrorism and radical Islamic terrorism in particular. Which reminds me of another post on X. I got to find this one for you. This one really pissed me off last week while I was sitting and I had my nose on, you know. There, well, let me find this one. I saw this word used, and fellow veterans who've been to places like Iraq and Afghanistan, you'll know the word right when I say it. The word is inshallah. Inshallah. Which basically means God willing in Arabic, right? And inshallah was like the excuse that was always made. You'd have a bomb go off. Maybe it hit one of your own vehicles. And then, of course, you're going in, you're doing your investigations afterwards, you know. And you'll hear people say, no, we don't know why it happened. Oh, good people around here. Oh, yeah, good people, right? Well, how come a bomb just went off right in front of your house? And then, inshallah became, it didn't become a reliance on God for so many of these people. Because, hey, God willing, that's a good phrase, right? It's like, hey, you know what? Hey, wherever my life goes, God willing, you know, this will happen. God willing, that'll happen. You know, it's a beautiful concept. But it became an excuse for these terrorists or for the people who were doing nothing in the face of terrorism. And I can't find where it's buried in my posts on X here, but I think it was a specific quote. I think it was a New York Post story talking about, I believe it was the Somali fraud scandal. And it was like, a 25-year-old, you know, can come here from Somalia, and inshallah, we will make you a very rich person. Basically, it was these Somali migrants telling 25-year-old Somali migrants, hey, come to Minnesota, and inshallah, we will make you a millionaire. We will give you so much money. And you know who's giving them that money? You are. You, the American people. You, the taxpayers. And you know what? 25 years. Here it is. December 11th, so 5 days ago. Here we go. Barry, is it Weiss or Barry Weiss? I had a great soldier named Weiss, by the way. But Barry Weiss, however you pronounce her name, I apologize. She's like the new chief of CBS News, if I'm not mistaken, right? CBS News obtained dozens of documents that reveal how Minnesota fraudsters spent hundreds of millions in taxpayer dollars on luxury cars, villas, and overseas wire transfers, including to China. And one of the quotes from this CBS News piece is this, quote, "You are going to be the richest 25-year-old, inshallah." Oh, that just pissed me off. Because how many times did we hear that word, inshallah, when we were 25-year-olds risking our lives overseas just to see our country invaded these last few years and just to see our country ripped off by the very same people that were allowed to invade these countries these last few years? And then I thought about it after I shared that post on X, and I was like, wow, 25-year-olds risking our lives overseas. I was like, holy cow, it was 20 years ago. 20 years ago this Christmas, basically, that I was first went to Iraq and landed in Ramadi, Iraq, with just some of the most badass soldiers you could ever ask to be a part of. A bunch of great soldiers out of Pennsylvania and the Vermont National Guard, with the Mountain Infantry up there and the Mech Infantry out of Pennsylvania. But man, how many times did we hear that word, oh, inshallah, which became an excuse. Not a message of relying on God for strength to stand up to evil in the world, but an excuse for doing nothing about evil in the world. And then now they use that same term to rip off the American people and make 25-year-olds who invaded this country rich while the rest of you struggle to pay some bills, yeah, or maybe go on a nice family vacation, right? Oh, so absolutely sick and twisted. But here is Sean Hannity last night talking about how basically the whole world has gone into a pre-9/11 mindset.
According to the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, again, last week she reported at least 2,000 so-called Afghan refugees that Biden let into the country. 2,000 of those have terrorism ties. And now the risk profile around the world is even worse. Since the 2023 October 7th attacks, anti-Semitism, it has exploded. It has gone unchecked around the world. It has gone unchecked in the halls of Congress. It has gone unchecked on college campuses. Radical anti-Semites have used Israel as an excuse to openly hate Jews and call for, quote, global antifada. Sound familiar? Or globalize the antifada. In fact, just 2 days after Jewish people were brutally attacked and abducted by Hamas, this is October 9th, 2023, radical Islamists in Australia took to the streets outside of the famous Sydney Opera House chanting, "Where are the Jews? Gas the Jews. F the Jews." Take a look. In light of that, after October 7, 23, does what happened over the weekend shock you? Australia's government largely turned a blind eye to this horrific, unacceptable behavior and continued to welcome hardline Islamists into their country. As Miranda Devine eloquently put it in the New York Post today, Australia allowed Jewish hatred to fester with cowardly appeasement and foolish immigration decisions.
Yeah, great summary there by Sean Hannity. Hopefully it's not a repeat of what might be coming up in his commentary here. I just realized we run his commentary here coming up in the 50 break, but I'm assuming his morning commentary could be on a different topic altogether, or at least a continued summary of that topic as well. Let's see, what else should we talk about? What should we talk about next? I've got some Montana-specific stories in front of me here that I want to get to, plus a whole bunch of other stories in the news today. Sports, you know, at least yesterday, I briefly chatted with you at the start of the show, we got a chance to hear from Caden Bjornstedt, our producer back there, talking about Cat Grizz Part 2 coming up on Saturday. So that was a fun conversation with Caden yesterday. But, yeah, what about the Cat Grizz game for the semifinal for the FCS championship taking place this weekend in Bozeman? That's going to be incredible. I've got some audio from there. And what about the Army-Navy game this past weekend? The crowd went wild for President Trump at the Army-Navy game. Man, so many great highlights from that one, too.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Some point, when do you learn the lessons of history? And when do you listen to the enemies that want to destroy you? And when do you identify enemies for who they are? It's not a matter of, you know, I don't want war. I'd like to end war. But there's a fundamental, and I would argue in some cases, purposeful misinterpretation of the nature of a threat that is now worldwide. And we're seeing it. And it's not going to end well if it's not dealt with. The only person on the world stage that is understanding it and dealing with it seems to be President Donald J. Trump.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, with the cold now swiftly descending on Europe, especially Ukraine, well, it is impacting so many elderly people. Like, for example, a woman by the name of Olga. Now, it could be deadly. She's 79 years old. She lives in a small village. She has no indoor plumbing, no reliable heating. She doesn't have enough money to cover food, medicine, and heat. But thanks to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Olga now receives a nourishing food box, emergency lighting, and a warm blanket. Now, this aid is a life-saving gift for someone like Olga. Now, as another brutal winter is beginning, thousands of elderly people like Olga, they are praying for a miracle, and you can make that miracle happen through the special matching grant going on right now. Your gift today will have twice the impact, up to the first $50,000. Anyway, please rush your gift now. Call toll-free. It's 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-4325. Online, it's HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some clouds around the area today, an isolated shower is possible, mainly towards Bozeman. High temperatures stay in the upper 40s to the lower 50s. For tonight, with variably cloudy skies, isolated showers possible, mainly towards the Bozeman vicinity. Overnight lows in the mid and upper 30s. With some scattered rain showers Wednesday, highs range in the mid 40s to around 50. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, with the holidays fast approaching, some of you can be taking some time off, maybe getting on a long airline flight somewhere or taking a long road trip. Here's the deal. If you've got the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, not only can you listen live from anywhere, not only can you get our great news stories, commentary pieces, and more from contributors all across Montana, but you can also go download any show, any hour of Montana Talks, so you can pick and choose and listen along the way.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, sorry, catching up on emails there here, Matt. It's after taking last week off and things like that, I just got several hundred emails that I at least need to search through, scroll through. A lot of it's, you know, newsletters and news and information and stuff that's already been covered. But there's always some stuff in there that I might miss that's important information from you guys. So trying to clear through that. Plus, we're planning out a little bit of the show for next week as well. I can't believe it's already Christmas next week. So Merry Christmas to every single one of our listeners out there. Make sure you got the Montana Talks app if you are traveling for the holidays, because you can listen live. You can even call into the show by pressing a little button on the app. In fact, you can press that little button right now, call in, or call 406-294-0970 if you want to jump in on the conversation here as well. Oh, this is a big story that I should have started the show with this story. Oh, and I can't wait to hear David Noble weigh in on this one on Thursday as well. I'm sure David Noble's just chomping at the bit. He's like, oh, man, I wish we could have gotten to that story. I wish that story wouldn't have come out till a Thursday. A shocking new report about the glaciers in Glacier National Park. Oh, man, do we love this story. The glaciers are melting. The glaciers are melting. The glaciers are melting. That's what they said before they took down the signs in 2020. Actually, it's 2019. I need to do a quick little correction on that. Predicting that the glaciers in Glacial National Park would be gone by 2020. But now, they're saying that there's a new report from the government, by the way. The USGS, I believe, is who was quoted in this Daily Interlake story out of Kalispell. Yesterday afternoon, I just got back from the Flathead County Republican Women. Scrolling through the news, I see the Daily Interlake has this story. I was like, oh, man, I've got to share that with our listeners right now. So I head up to my computer and put a little story together. They're saying that the glaciers may not be gone until the end of the century. So for another 75 years. Now, think about it. They predicted that the glaciers would be gone by 2020, and then they quietly pulled the signs down from the park in 2019. The mainstream media in Montana refused to even cover the story. The Daily Caller, credit to them, they first broke the news that the glaciers are gone by 2020. Signs were pulled down very quietly. They broke the news. We talked about it here on Montana Talks. I did a story for our websites. The rest of the mainstream media ignored this major news story until like January of 2020. And so they're like, well, they're not gone yet. Our prediction was wrong, but they'll be gone soon. They'll be gone soon. They'll be gone soon. And now, though diminished, glaciers may persist through the end of the century. This is how badly their prediction failed on them. The climate alarmists have failed once again. They want to scare the pants off of you. But don't be afraid of the Somali migrants that are ripping you off. Don't be afraid of the radical Islamists that are shooting up innocent people all over the world. But climate change! You know, and so anyway, yeah, this is very interesting. If you go to the Montana Talks website, we've got the numbers, the link back to the Daily Interlake story here as well. But they told us that they were going to be gone by 2020. And then when they were wrong, they couldn't be public and honest about it. They had to like quietly tear down the signs. And the mainstream media tried to, you know, not cover it. And then eventually they finally covered it. And my goodness. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, actually, not only were they not gone by 2020, they're going to be around 80 years after our failed prediction. And by the way, as I've also pointed out back then, I got to do an incredible tour of part of Glacier National Park with the Glacier Institute, and it was so cool because the guy was talking about Glacier, and he's like, yeah, the reason it is called Glacier National Park is not because of the glaciers that still remain in Glacier National Park, because they've been melting for a very, very long time. It's called Glacier National Park because the whole thing used to be covered in ice, and the melting ice over a very, very long period, not climate change, is what etched out one of God's most beautiful creations on the entire freaking planet, was the melting ice over a very long time.
Here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Let's breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Exhale very slowly. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.